Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved in Christ, Happy New Year. It's a new year. Calendars are fresh. Resolutions are flying and hope is in the air. Quick show of hands, how many of you have made a new resolution for 2026? No one. So I won't even bother to ask how many have already broken your resolutions for 2026. How many of you didn't make any resolution at all this year? A few. So there's how many of us don't like to be asked questions in church? You didn't answer. Okay, you don't. Very good. These two extremes, the one on one side of I'm going to make myself better through my own effort, and it never works out, so I'm not even trying. These are a bit like Paul's instructions in our epistle reading today in Romans. On the one side is legalism. We try to follow the law to make ourselves acceptable before God. The other is antinomianism. Don't worry, that word will not be on the quiz later. It comes from the Greek nomos, which means law. Antinomon, nomian, you can kind of hear it in there. Antinomian is against the law. It says that since Christ satisfied the law, and that we're saved by grace and not by works, that we don't need to give the law or this idea of sin a second thought. These two extremes are like ditches on the sides of a road. Think about driving in a quiet corner here in Henry County. There's cornfields as far as the eye can see on either side. And, well, it seems like most of the roads either have no ditch or just a ditch on one side. Imagine a road with ditches on both sides. Our goal is to get to the end of the road, maybe Archibald. Driving into the ditch is not going to get us to heaven. I mean, is not going to get us to Archibald. In my metaphor, the road is the gospel, and the two ditches are legalism and antinomianism, ignoring the law. And Paul, in our epistle reading this morning, is encouraging us not to drive into either ditch. He starts out by asking the question, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Then he immediately answers his own question. By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? See, grace and sin are opposites. Deliberately sinning to get more grace is like receiving a shiny new fire extinguisher for Christmas and then immediately setting your kitchen on fire so you can see it work. Yes, the fire extinguisher is powerful. Yes, grace abounds. But nothing good comes from the fire. Smoke damage, burned cabinets, ruined food, maybe even you burn down your whole house. Sin always costs us more than we think. It's not something we should just play around with. Now on the other side, clearly fire should be respected. But we shouldn't live terrified, afraid to use the stove and eating our food raw and cold. We don't have to earn our salvation with perfect behavior. Next, Paul asks another question. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Now, stretching my fire extinguisher metaphor a bit farther, why would someone who's been rescued from fire choose to burn down his own house? Notice that he doesn't say rescued. Paul says died. We died, as in the past. Not we are dying or we will die. Do you remember dying? Because Paul says you did. He says all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. In our baptism, you were united with Christ in his death. Your old self, the one who was a slave to sin, was crucified with him. That old self is dead and gone. Sin was the master of that old self, but the new one belongs to Christ. Let's look at Christ's baptism as the model for yours. When Jesus came up out of the Jordan River, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Likewise, when you came out of your baptism, the Spirit came to dwell with you, not visibly, but truly. The Father declared you to be his child, not out loud, like Jesus, but truly. So if you're ever tempted to think, "Oh, I'm forgiven. It doesn't matter if I sin," Paul points us to our baptism and says, "Remember, that old person you used to be is dead. Sin, that old slave master, has no claim on a corpse. Why would a freed person return to slavery?" But Paul's not done. Next, he warns us away from the other ditch, the one that says we must strive for perfection as Christians by keeping the law perfectly. It's that little voice whispering in our ears that says, "If you were really a Christian, you would be nicer. You would work harder. You would give more. You would play less. You would not disappoint God." Look at verse 4 in our epistle reading, where Paul says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Look at who is doing the work in all of that. We were buried by baptism. I didn't do anything when I got baptized. I was buried. It was the Holy Spirit and the pastor who did the work. We are raised again, like Christ, by the glory of the Father, not by our own effort. The Spirit and the Father are doing the work in the baptism so that we walk in newness of life. Not work in this new life, not labor or toil, just walk. See, this new life was just given to us. Not because we earned it, but because Christ earned it for us. The old self was crucified with Christ, and the price of our sin was paid. We are no longer slaves to sin because Christ has set us free. Therefore, if our sin is already paid for, there is no need to work to frantically try and escape it. At best, this counts for nothing. At worst, it distracts us from the real work of the Holy Spirit, which is to produce good fruit in us through love and gratitude, not fear. Imagine some parents who adopt a child. The paperwork is written up, the judge has signed off, and the father declares, "You are my son, whom I love." But then, instead of responding in love and gratitude, the child keeps on trying to earn his parents' affection. He does all his chores. He even makes up new chores so he can do those as well. He gets perfect grades in school. Sounds great, right? But the child is aloof and distant. The child does not understand that his parents love him and want him to be happy. He never understands that his parents already love him. I think those parents would be heartbroken. They did not set out to buy a servant. They adopted a son. The child has the parents' name, the inheritance, a place in their home. What he should be doing is living the free, easy life that the parents envisioned for him. Yes, doing the chores is good and the grades are good, but that's not the point of being adopted. This is the same in our baptism. The Father has said over you, "This is my beloved child." The Spirit has come to rest on you. You are a co-inheritor with the Son. The old, enslaved to sin version of you is dead and buried, but you do not need to earn what you've been given. So why would you act like a slave if you're a son of God? We are free from sin, and yet something feels wrong. We continue to sin, and we know that we sin, even though we are made new. Paul hints at this in verses 6 and 7, and he really explains it at the end of chapter 7. But what he tells us is that we are all made up of both a body and a spirit. And while our spirit was made new in baptism, we've still got our old body. Paul calls this flesh, and he says there is nothing good in it. Paul isn't talking about muscles or just your bones exactly when he says flesh. See, your body is a gift from God, and with your spirit, your new spirit, it can do good works. But your old body, it includes your thinking, your reason, and your old habits. In baptism, your body is not renewed. It just gets wet. It knows little of Christ and nothing of the resurrection. It likes pleasure and it fears death. It's our old body's thinking and habits that tell us that little sin won't hurt you, or you'd better work harder or God won't like you. But remember, your spirit, it was made new. It was drowned in baptism, and that's the only death it will ever know. It's raised with Christ. It's a step ahead of your old body, since it not only knows of the resurrection, it's already been resurrected. When we do fall into sin, that tension that we feel is because our spirits are trying to live as children of God, while our old bodies are still thinking old thoughts and living as slaves to sin, because our old bodies haven't died yet. Soon enough, we will each pass into that peaceful sleep that the world calls death and fears so. And when we wake from that slumber, we will once again be made whole, and that tension will pass away. In the meantime, the solution is not more willpower or punishing ourselves or giving up and just not worrying about sin. The solution is to return to the truth declared in our baptism, as Paul says in verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is a valuable saying. If you like affirmations, write it on a post-it note and stick it on your bathroom mirror to remind you that you've already died the only death that's going to matter and that sin has no power over you. Or embroider it on a pillow and remind yourself that you're a beloved child of God, only your old body just hasn't figured it out yet. Or do what Martin Luther tells us in the Small Catechism under morning prayer. He says, in the morning when you get up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Those are the words that you are baptized into. Anyways, just do whatever works for you to remember your baptism and consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, this new year will offer temptations to both ditches. Your flesh, your old body, will try to pull you off to one side or the other, either careless sinning or striving for perfection. Fortunately, God has given you something to keep you in the center of the road, your baptism. That font is not just a decoration. It's a grave, and it's a birthplace, and it's your address in God's family. Return to it regularly, as the Small Catechism says, that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Grace and sin are opposites. The fire extinguisher of forgiveness is real and powerful, but nothing good comes from setting the house on fire. Instead, live in the home that Jesus has prepared for you. Not carelessly, not obsessively, but just with the peace and joy that comes from knowing that you're forgiven, that you're welcomed, and that you're a child of God. Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.